From Money, a Memoir by Liz Pearl. Long ago, and not entirely consciously, I made a quiet contract with cash. I would do what it took to get it, work hard, marry right, but I didn't want to have to think about it. I simply wanted to know I would be financially secure. This intentional avoidance eventually exacted its price. In the service of sidestepping whenever possible my anxious feelings, if not my facts, about money, I've signed over a lot of power to anyone or anything that promised to make me feel financially safe, no matter what the consequences. I've left my emotions about money, the fears and ambivalences, largely unexamined. I've avoided facing my contradictory feelings about the whole subject, such as the fact that I want to have my own money with the independence it gives, while simultaneously hoping someone or something will step up to the plate and take care of me. I've invited these highly emotional and unstable sets of feelings into every relationship I've had, and they have silently accompanied and influenced each one, with my father, my work, my friends, my bosses, and my husband's. There have been two, oddly, both named Steve. My non-specific fears of financial ruin have led to some good things, too, though. They've pushed me to work hard, which propelled me into some good jobs, which, in addition to nice salaries, gave me a sense of identity, some freedom, and extended periods when I felt pretty good about myself. Anxiety about my future has put money in my IRA, has helped me save enough for a down payment on a house, and in the hopes that the sins of the parents aren't visited on the kids, has prodded me to impart to my children a respect for cash and a sense of its importance. In fact, I've always paid my way, not just out of financial need, but because emotionally, I've needed the freedom that a decent income ensured me. None of these facts, however, made a dent in my anxieties. My financial solvency, like most things in life, has come with a few strings attached. In order to keep the real and imaginary wolves from my door, I've occasionally acted in ways that haven't made me feel too swell about myself. I've been silent when I should have spoken up, stayed ignorant when I should have paid attention. I've remained tethered to unhappy and unhealthy work and personal relationships. I've been complicit in bad business practices and poor management. My agreement to trade bits of myself for security has had personal side effects, eruptions of rebellious immaturity where I haven't paid my bills or lived within my means, in spite of very real consequences. I didn't change my IRA portfolio from all those tech stocks I'd invested in, hoping to get rich quick. Whoops. I didn't balance my checkbook and ended up paying 18% interest on the overdraft that bounced over to my Visa card. I've left jobs purely because I've hated them, even though they paid me well. Each of these incidents resulted in big reversals in my financial fortunes. And if you graphed my net worth over the course of my life, it would look like the mark of Zorro. Embarrassed and occasionally unnerved by my own tendency toward erratic fiscal behavior, I've stubbornly refused to examine it. Instead, choosing to pin my hopes on that white knight, dream job, unknown dead rich uncle, or winning lottery number that would rescue me. This kind of magical thinking, if not downright denial, has allowed me to maintain a remarkably constant approach-avoidance relationship with this most fundamental part of my life, with the emphasis on avoidance. I'm no stranger to the financial fantasy realm.